Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings and greetings. Greetings and blessings, blessed souls. We're alive because we're meriting to stay alive, even in the most trying of circumstances under the COVID-19 pandemic, because our intentions are to be connected to Torah Chaim, instructions of life, Torah Chesed, instructions of kindness, Torah Rachamim, instructions of mercies. You now tune into Blog Talk Radio, and we humbly assert this is the higher inner frequency of Blog Talk Radio. We call ourselves Soul Class. This is Soul Class number 751. Even the righteous shall repent? ! Blessed is our eternal creator. Shalom, peace, and blessing upon the entire human family experience, wherever you are in the four corners of the globe. Well, today we hope to be exploring the cognitive, emotional, spiritual space of what some call repentance, but a more accurate term in the Lashon HaKodesh, Hebrew, holy tongue, is teshuvah, return, and that it is a mode of serving Creator not only for backsliding human beings, but for the righteous as well. Meanwhile, may the Eternal Creator bless and protect you and your loved ones in a peaceful and pleasant way. The tags for today's program are Eternal Creator, Divine Image, Universal Redemption, Children of Israel collaborating with the children of Noah to eliminate hatred, jealousy, and competition upon this blessed earth. Inner dimensions of Torah, Hasidus, and oral and written traditions of Israel. So let's now turn down this air raid siren, and I'll explain why I put this air raid siren on. Well, blessed souls, here we are. It's now the 27th of Tammuz, within a period known as the 3 weeks, which is the period of mourning for the nation of Israel, because on this 10 days ago, 11 days ago, we commemorated the breaking of the tablets by the mighty Moses, mighty Levite prophet Moses, Moshe Rabbeinu. Moses is our teacher. And as well, while there's all this talking back and forth about freedom and human rights, which is all his, these are subjects that human beings should be talking about, and whether a vaccine shall be revealed or not revealed or will be properly vetted. Is there a hidden agenda? Is there a eugenicist movement, which I do believe there is, whether it be consciously or subconsciously, in order to allow us human beings who are totally against the whole idea of eugenics, which is a satanic system based on a Malthusian system, based on the ancient Torah instruction of Cain, or Cain as we say in English, who thought there wasn't enough of earth to share with other human beings, and particularly his brother Hevel, or Abel, Cain and Abel, you know, the very famous story, the first premeditated murder in the history of the human family experience, according to Torah teachings. And I just thought it would be a prime time, it'd be time to start the show with an air raid siren, because we are at war with what? With ourselves. And because we are at war and sometimes losing the battle of our negative thoughts and our negative speech, our negative actions, it manifests on a grand global scale around the four corners of the earth, where more than 7.7 billion human beings are gleaming and streaming, and many are screaming for justice and human rights and proper drinking water and food and nutrition and proper education and protection against disease and different types of maladies which are floating all over the face of the earth. May the Almighty protect us from this. No one has thought of perhaps coming up with a vaccine to remove hatred and jealousy and competition, because it's so ingrained into normative human intellect, as if it's a given, this is the way the world must operate. And we of Israel say, no, because we have an axiomatic teaching from the Rambam, the Nesher Godel, the great eagle, Rabbi Moshe ben Maimon, Maimonides, Rambam, who says, in the days of Mashiach, there will be no jealousy and no hatred, no competition. So why we do assert we are on the cusp of this great universal redemption, still there are many smoke screens. And when there are smoke screens, there are fire. There are strange fires. There is incense brought, not literal incense, but cognitive, emotional, spiritual incense being offered up to strange entities other than the Creator. And therefore, I feel it is my microcosmic 1 out of 7.7 billion human beings to share with each and every one of you, those who are listening around the world, probably not live because it wasn't advertised, this program, it's kind of an impromptu program, but you should, God willing, with the Almighty's blessing, you'll hear this in the archive version, to present something from a Torah perspective that most human beings are not aware of. The flip side of repentance is called returning, also known in the Lashon HaKodesh terminology as teshuvah. And teshuvah is not just for people who've done wrong, it's also for people who've only done right in their lives. These people are called the tzaddikim, the righteous. And there's a very small amount in every generation. In fact, there is one oral Torah tradition that said from the beginning of the human family experience, the Creator so decreed there'd be only 18,000 spread out throughout the generations. If we follow the Torah narrative instruction, now we're 5,780 years from original man and woman, Adam and Chava, who were not of any nation, but just the works of the hands of the Almighty Creator, who blew into them the Ruach Chaim, the Spirit of Life. So divide 18,000 into 5,780 years. You see, there's not too many in every generation, if we consider a generation to be 20 to 25 to 30 or 35 years, depending on what your calculation of what a generation encompasses in terms of years. So I want to share that as an opening remark, and now we're going to go into the program. Also, I want to dedicate today's program, the elevation of the dear soul of my uncle, the younger brother of my father, Shlomo Yaakov ben Chuna David, of blessed memory. This is dedicated to his brother who passed away on the 6th of Tammuz, 3 weeks ago today, around 7:30, Mechel Yosef ben Chuna David, like Michael Joseph, the son of Chuna David. Here we go. Blessed souls, for many years now, medical invasive procedures have advanced to the point, given unique circumstances, and may we all be spared of such unique circumstances, where surgeons can, and currently can still, remove the human scalp and probe and perform very delicate operations on the blessed human brain. Now, what has emerged in the course of such probings of the human brain, the individuals, he or she, undergoing such operations, after the surgery or during the surgery, if they were awake, reported sensations they would normally experience when off the operating table, such as if a certain part of the brain was probed, they would feel hot. If a certain part of the brain was probed, they would feel cold. If a certain part of the brain was probed, they would smell that which they would pick up on the odors that were in their immediate environment. And other sensations associated with mundane existential mindfulness of one's immediate surroundings. Baruch Hashem, thank God, blessed be the Creator. The good news is we don't have to lay on an operating table to become more aware of our microcosmic immediate environments, that which is outside of our physical bodies, and the microcosmic environment below or beneath skin level. For we have Torah instructions which can empower us to probe our blessed mind, our blessed human heart, and our blessed human livers, until the point, at one level or another, we can gain some sort of control of these three essential human organs. And for those who take this matter as one expression of their ultimate reason for being, namely, to serve Creator, to bond with all forms of life, mineral, vegetative, animal, and human, and to maintain this blessed earth in a sustainable fashion. Now, we've always had living examples as human beings of a small group of people, as I mentioned before, of righteous human beings who are known in the Loshon HaKodesh as tzaddikim, who not only from various stages of their lives gain mastery over their blessed minds, their blessed hearts and blessed liver, but they exemplify that which is good, that which is pure, that which is holy. However, for the rest of us, there is the path of teshuvah. Now, what is the path of teshuvah? Again, the simple explanation, which most of the world has accepted upon themselves, is that it is a matter of repentance, turning away from the negativities that manifested, or we allowed to manifest, or we were exposed to very negative influences in our early years, in our developing years, in our adult years, in our elderly years, that affected our thoughts, speech, and action. We made a decision at one point, we want to turn away from this. We feel contrition. We feel bitterness, that we feel separated from the Creator. That's one half of it. But then there's the sweetness of returning to Creator. Now, this sweetness is actually sweeter than sugar, sweeter than honey, packs with it more of a punch than any form of liquid punch, is more satiating than bread and meat and the delicate fruits we can have access to and the fibrous vegetables that help us digest the other foods we imbibe in. This is the, and in fact, Torah speaks on many levels of being comparable to different types of foodstuffs. There's a level of Torah that's considered to be like grain and meat and wine and oil, and even like incense, which is for our olfactory sensory perceptions and experiences. The higher level of teshuvah, which is so sweet and delicious and nutritious and accessible to all human beings, as brought down by the Alter Rebbe, the first Chabad Rebbe, in chapter 10 of his classic work, Igeres HaTshuvah, the letters of repentance. The higher level of Teshuvah, Teshuvah Iloah, is the cleaving of human spirit with divine spirit through the study of Torah and also acts of kindness. So that the word of Creator actually be fused with that which emanates out from one's mouth. And we have a verse from the prophet Isaiah, Yeshaya, also known as the prophet of Gula, in chapter 51, 16, I have placed my words in your mouth. Now, I have to understand, as microcosmic, teeny tiny human beings, we should proceed in a way of strength to strength as we connect our human spirit with the divine spirit. And this can manifest particularly through the heart's devoted worship. So the heart, which is working nonstop as a pump to circulate the blood, which has the soul within it, throughout the body to help us feel alive, is fused with the spirit of the Almighty and with the empowerment of the human heart through the fusion of soul within blood through the spirit of the Creator. We come across another verse in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. These words which I command you today shall be upon your heart, and you shall speak of them. So that since the Creator, you know, commanded Moses, the mighty Levite prophet, to speak these out to the nation of Israel, but it's also universal instruction to all people. The word of Creator will truly be in the mouth of him or her that is in fact speaking those words of Torah. whether it be the written tradition or the oral tradition. As well, in chapter 46 in Tanya, there is the cleaving of our spirit to the divine spirit through prayer. This is another expression of the more superior level of returning to Creator, and also to meditate, to go into deep awareness, mindfulness of the grandeur of the infinite Creator. Now, our prayer is an expression of the higher level of return. Still, there is a caveat. The author of it continues to teach in chapter 10 of Agirsa Tshuva. It must be preceded with a heart that is of a penitent frame of mind. And Rashi, the foremost elucidator on the oral Torah tradition, says there has to be a humility. So the humility is connected to the lower level of return, which empowers us to go from strength to strength, from below to above, to seek Creator through our prayer. So this is for individuals who are not fully actualized, which is the vast majority of human beings, 99.99% of us. I'm one of them as well. But now we see from a teaching from the 6th Chabad Rebbe, who taught this in Warsaw in 1934, before the more hellish days of the Holocaust ensued, in 1934 in Warsaw, where the 6th Chabad Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Schneerson of Lubavitch, taught us. Although, in general, we're not expecting Mashiach to be a miracle worker, there will be something which can be identifiable as a miracle, meaning it will penetrate the nature of this world to either, so to speak, tear it apart for that one moment, just like at the splitting of the Red Sea. Nature itself shall be elevated, and all of us will not be surprised, as it says in the Zohar, that when the Mashiach, the Messiah, will come, the tzaddikim will come to do repentance. Now, again, we've identified the tzaddikim as those who know how to do only the right thing. And there are very few of them throughout the generations, around 18,000. The tzaddik is someone who is upright and righteous, who is able to discharge his or her, all of her obligations honestly, and they're upright, and they do it with a zeal, with a zerizot, as we say, with an alacrity. And they're admired for not only the fact that they do what they do, but they do it with a speed, a type of superhuman, but nothing aggrandizing, you know, like nothing, not a fantasy version of a superhero like in Marvel Comics or whatever these cartoons are, movies are. We're talking about a real human being that actually can do what is right at an amazing pace. In contrast to someone who's done wrong with their thought, speech, and action, but regrets for having done what they've done, they're known as a Baal Tshuva, a penitent, a person in a state of return. And most of us are, whether we grew up with some sort of faith-based teachings or we didn't. We were brought up, so to speak, in captivity to foreign ideologies. But this type of return is not pertinent to the tzaddik. The tzaddik doesn't even, this type of person doesn't even make mistakes in doing sins. Therefore, what is the miracle that is going to take place is that the tzaddikim will come to realize there was a path of serving Creator which was not, they were not privy to it, it was not relevant to them because they didn't do the wrong things. But therefore, because they also could feel at some level of contrition from the aspect of perhaps not as doing as much good. They've done good, but perhaps they did 100% good. Perhaps if they do a proper inspection of themselves from within, looking within themselves, opening up that eye in the sechel shebalev, that eye, the eye of the intellect within the heart, they say they could have added a little bit more in goodness, in kindness, in love of their fellow human being, in their acts of kindness. They exhausted themselves in their service, but there was always something more they could do. So the tzaddikim will embrace openly this path, which is basically the path of the vast majority of the human family experience. We've done wrong. We regret it. Now we want to try to go from strength to strength. It can be through Torah learning and acts of kindness and prayer. But the tzaddikim will realize now that even when they stayed away from evil and only clung to good, they could have clung maybe a little bit more fastidiously to that good. And this will be a miraculous occurrence. It will be a humbling occurrence, even for the tzaddikim. Now, this is a very terse teaching, blessed souls, and we're going to end on this, that I implore each and every one of us, and I implore myself, I've got to be good, you've got to be good, we've all got to be good. We all can savor the satiating experience of teshuva, of returning to Creator. It's a matter of whether we want to or not, and can we break from those chains that are being generated from our own action or our improper actions or being imposed by those who want to stay stuck in the past and saying it's all about this, it's all about that, it's about politics, it's about economics, it's about a vaccine. And I'm not saying those things are not relevant. If there's a vaccine to be found to save the human family experience from the pandemic, that's great. But perhaps if we go a little bit deeper, there's a whole discussion with the Ramban as opposed to the Rambam. Again, the Ramban and Ibn Ezra were of the opinion that when a person's sick, they should go to a prophet, a wise man, because if the sickness is within the internal organs, there's a spiritual problem. While Rambam was more of a rationalist thinker, although he had Kabbalistic leanings as well, saying that a person should see a doctor because the Creator did empower various human beings throughout the various generations to facilitate healing through natural means. It's really not a contradiction. But when each one of us can remove our jealousy from within our hearts, minds, and negative activities within the liver from improper eating or whatever we've been exposed to, which is negative, and what we're thinking and saying and doing, perhaps this is the vaccine that will trigger the revelation of the Mashiach, the righteous Messiah, who will roar out, Torah Chadash Amitetetze, who will roar out a dimension of Torah that even the likes of Moses and Samuel and King David and King Solomon and Adam, the first man, and all the great righteous souls of the B'nai Noach have never accessed. May this all manifest in a way. Aba Havachad, one love. Goral Achad, one destiny. Kolonu Pa'oz. B'darchin Om Darki Shalom. I'm going to end up with one of my favorite songs by these good young men. It's from 10 years ago. It's time has passed so quickly. In the blink of an eye, Karafine, just like we can go from exile to redemption, Karafine, in the blink of an eye, this is one day. The one day should be right now, leading into the eternal path of serving Creator, fellowshipping with other human beings, and making this world totally sustainable for all four corners of the globe. Because if it's not sustainable in all four corners of the globe, it's just another reinterpretation of the exile mentality of the human family experience. Let's break out of that bubble, blessed souls, and let's go sing now together in unison with one day. Take care, everyone.
out to thee under the same sun, singing from the freedom ride.